Well, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 10. And verse number 27 is where we're going to be today. Now, we are going to look at some other verses, but this is kind of our theme for today. But time to take some ground. So Luke chapter 10, verse number 27, if you will stand for the reading of God's word this morning. And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Our Father, as we just come before you this morning, we again thank you for allowing us the privilege to be here together in this place to fellowship, to encourage one another, to lift up each other, but more importantly than that, Father, to come and together to worship you and to hear from you and to, Lord, not only to sing praises and again worship, but Father, to hear from you and what it is that you desire to do in our lives today, that you want to do through our lives. So, Father, we surrender all that we are, our wills, our desires. We surrender all of us so that you may have what you want to do and have your will be done. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. It is time to take some ground, especially after the last couple of days. When non-believers look at the world, it is easy to ask this one question: what is wrong with the world? And they do. I mean, you hear it all the time, and they come up with their things. Well, you know, it's guns and all this. But they are asking the question, what is wrong with the world? Now, non-believers are asking that. We as believers, we know what's wrong with the world. You know, we know that, you know, Satan has a lot of power right now, and he's at work. We know that we live in a sinful world. We live in a corrupt world. We live in a decaying world because of sin. Now, God's still in control, and he still has all authority, but he is allowing Satan to do what Satan's doing now. So we as believers understand that. We know that. We know that it's not people. You know, it's not people we're against. It's not people that we're fighting with. It's not flesh and blood, as Paul said. It's principality. We understand that as believers. But the world, non-believers, do not understand that. Now, when the church looks at the world, maybe the church should be asking this question: what is wrong with the church? What is wrong with the church? Why is it? Now again, and I want to be clear in this, the church is doing some good things. I mean, they are doing some good things. And again, when I say the church, you know, we're putting the church, all of us in there. But when we look at the world, maybe we should be asking, what is wrong with the church? Why isn't the church having more of an impact in this world than it is? What is wrong? It could be this verse right here. Maybe it's this verse right here. It is, as Jesus has told us, love the Lord your God with everything that you are, and your neighbor as yourself. When we see the church simply can't be good at Luke 10:27, we've got to become great at it. We've got to become great. Good, as we talked about Wednesday night, going the second mile. Good is going the first mile. But supernatural, great, is going the second mile. That's where Christ is at. See, we can be good at this verse. And the church can do some good things. But if we want to do some great things, and let me put it this way, if we want God to do some great things through us, we've got to become great at this verse. Because I'm going to show you here in a few moments what it means to be good at this verse and what it means to be great at this verse. I would go back, and again, we'll talk about the cross, and we're going to look at that here in a moment. But when we think about the love that Jesus had for the Father, was it good or was it great? It was great, wasn't it? Or there would have been no cross. So it wasn't just simply good. God, our Lord and Savior, was great at loving the Father. And He was great at loving us. Because if He wasn't great at that, I don't know if I'd be saved today. He was great. That's where we got to be. And if we want, if we look at the world and we see the shape in the world's in, man, it's time the church becomes great at Luke 10:27. And then that's when we'll see God do what only, again, what God can do. And that's what we want. And just like 2,000 years ago, the disciples weren't just good. They were great at this. And that's why they turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. That, guys, that is our goal. And if anything, if our goal is anything less than that, we have the wrong goal. If our desire is anything less than this one verse right here, we have the wrong desire. Because Jesus point blank says, this is what we are to do. This is what we are to be. It is complete love for Christ. There is no second place. God's not second. He's not third. He is top priority. He is number one. And if He's not number one in our lives, then we're not being great at this. And the disciples became great at this verse. And God was able to do what He did through them. Look over, if you will, to John chapter 21, verse number, chapter 21 and verse number 7. And then we're going to jump down to verses 15 and 19. And once we get over there and we start reading it, you're going, again, you may be familiar with it. If you're not, it's okay, but you'll probably be familiar with it. John chapter 21 and verse number 7. So the disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, I'm going to paraphrase up to verse number 15. Remember, Peter has already denied Christ at this point. We have the resurrection. Peter is, he's still a disciple, but he's kind of saying, you know what, I'm going to go back to my old way of life. I'm going to go back to fishing and doing all that. And of course, John's out there with him, and John says, hey, there's Peter, and I love, again, here's Peter, right? You know, when Peter saw Jesus walk on the water, he says, he got out of the boat and walked to him. Well, it's kind of the same thing here. You know, they're fishing. John says, there's Jesus, and Peter doesn't wait for the boat to get back. He ties up his garments, jumps in the water, and swims to Jesus. You know, he wants to get to him. So that takes that, and Jesus has fixed breakfast for him. So he's fixing fish for breakfast, which is good for me. And then go down to verse number 15, because this is when Jesus has a conversation with Peter and kind of says, okay, Peter, here's what I want you to do. So here's some things that he says, and again, you may be familiar with it. He says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. A second time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. He asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved at that, that he asked him a third time. He says, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. And truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted to. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. And he said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would experience and would glorify God. And after this saying, he told him, follow me. John was good at loving Jesus. But now, he's going to be great at loving Jesus. Because he's willing to pay the ultimate price. No other distraction. Nothing else is going to conflict with that love. But John became great at Luke 10:27. To the point he was willing to die for the cause of Christ. For the kingdom of God. Satan is doing everything he can to keep John in that boat. I'm not saying Satan knows everything, Satan has foreknowledge, and I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about, because John became great at Luke 10:27, loving the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving his neighbor as himself, Satan would have loved for John to stay in the boat, because what did John do? God used John as one of the disciples to turn the world upside down for the kingdom of God. He wanted him to stay in that boat. How hard and how bad do you think Satan wanted Paul to keep persecuting the church? Because when God got a hold of Paul, what happened? He turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. He would have loved for John to stay in that boat. What's wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what's wrong with it in case you're wondering. You have a visitor. Now, this is a zoo somewhere overseas. I want to say Indonesia, but don't hold me to that. But that is a visitor. That is not a worker. She is feeding a lion. A lion. Get that right? A lion. Is that normal? Is that natural? What's wrong with this picture? The lion should be eating her. Right? Aslan is not a tame lion. Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. He's wild, you know. He's not tame. Satan would love for the church to continue to be tame. That's where Satan wants. But we don't serve a tame God. We don't serve a tame God. If Jesus was a tame God, nothing would have changed. There would have been no cross. Think about the disciples. Were the disciples tame? Not after the resurrection. They became great at Luke 10:27. Go back to the question, what is wrong with the church when we look at the world? Maybe we're too much like the picture on the left-hand side when we need to be more like the pictures on the right-hand side. We need to let God get a hold of us. And we need to become dangerous for the kingdom of God. We need to strike fear into Satan. Is Satan scared of us? Is he scared of the church? He is scared of the church. He is scared of believers who are doing great, who are striving to be great at Luke 10:27. That is who he's scared of. He's not scared of those on the left-hand side. But on the right-hand side, that's who he's afraid of. And he would love nothing more than for us to continue to be on the left-hand side. When we dare to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we, the church, become dangerous. That's when we become dangerous. And guys, it's not talking about just doing some good things. And it's okay to do good things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we're talking about going the second mile. We're talking about God doing the supernatural. We're talking about God doing what only God can do. And it's going to require the second natural. It's going to require the second mile. It's going to require us to become dangerous. It's going to require us not to be good at Luke 10:27. It's going to require us to become great at Luke 10:27. That's what it's going to require. And when we do that, that's what we become. We're not becoming dangerous to the world. We're becoming dangerous to Satan. We want to strike fear into Satan. I love that passage when Jesus sent out, and I'm not sure if it's in one of the Gospels of Luke, when Jesus sent the 70 out, and they were going out, and they were preaching the kingdom of God, and they were, man, it says in there, the demons were shaken, and Jesus told them, because they came back all excited, and Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. That is what he wants today from the church. to become dangerous. Look at the world, guys. Is the church dangerous today? Are we dangerous to Satan? Francis Schaeffer, a theologian, philosopher, said, "This is not an age in which to be a soft Christian." And that's missing. Look at the two events of the past 2 days. We've got to do something. I'm going to rephrase this a little bit. Another way to say it is, this is not an age in which to be a tamed Christian. We can't afford to be. We can't afford to be. Jesus did not die on the cross to keep us safe, but rather to be dangerous for us. He didn't pay the ultimate penalty for our sins so we can just live life just to live life. He died for us. I mean, again, go back to John. Go back to disciples. Go to Paul, whoever you want. Go to believers throughout history that have risked their lives, who have died for the cause of Christ, who have given up everything for the cause of Christ, who have traveled to other countries for the cause of Christ. He did not die so we can go through life playing it safe. He didn't. And he's not reigning today. He has not saved you. He's not saved me. He's not given us the Holy Spirit so we can play it safe. He already has said, he has given us, right, kingdom power. He's given us authority. When he told the disciples, "I want you to go into all the world." That's what he said. "I want you to go into all the world, and all power and authority is given to me, and I am with you." He didn't say go where it's easy. Go where it's safe. Go to people who like you. No, he says go into all the world. And that is what we're called to do. That has not changed. We've got to become great. At Luke 10, 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, if you want to turn over there, please. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And here's what he says. "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but are powerful through God." For what? "For the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments." What does God want us to do? He's called us to see Satan's strongholds demolished under the power of God. That's what his work is. How do we do that? It means we got to battle. That means we got to go where he's at, where he's working. That's the only place that's going to take place. And until we become great, strive to become great at Luke 10, 27, and go in the authority and the power of God, till we go onto the battleground. That's why it's all about taking ground, until we go where the battle is at. And it's in the world where he's working, where he's living, where he's thriving. Until the church goes where he's at to do battle, this is not going to happen. He's called us. You, me, he's called the church to do this in his power, in his authority. And he wants to do it through us. What is wrong? When we look at the world and we say, what is wrong? Are we doing this? All of us. When we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we start to live and pray proactively for God's kingdom. And I'm going to say this. So many of our prayers are reactive. So many times we do things reactively. We need to start praying and living proactively for the kingdom of God. God, open doors. And when he opens the door, walk through it. God, use me today to make an impact in this world. Whatever that looks like. Use me today, Father, to tear down a stronghold today that Satan's got in somebody's life. Use me today. Work through me today. Man, it is time we start being proactive for the kingdom of God and quit being reactive. The cross was not reactive. The cross was proactive. His return is not reactive. It's proactive. When Jesus says, I'm sending you out into the world, it wasn't reactive, it was proactive. When Jesus walked around and making himself available for people, he wasn't being reactive, he was being proactive. And that's what we're called to be. So how can we? And that's, again, I can't tell you, but how can we live proactively for the kingdom of God? How can we pray proactively for the kingdom of God? You know, I pray every day for my kids. I pray for their future spouses. I pray for their future children. I pray, Lord, help them to walk with you all the days of their life. Proactive. Pray when as I pray. Proactively. God, what do you want to do today? You know, some of you know, some of you may not know. I work for the school system. I loved what I did. Enjoyed it. And I found out, you know, that position was terminated. Well, God did what God did, and he opened up a different position, not with the school system. In a way, I'll be a Stonewall full time. It's going to be more of a social work and stuff like that. But here's the exciting part. You know, I'm salary. I'm going to be, I don't care about the money. I don't know how much I'm making, to be honest with you. Okay, I don't know. God's got that taken care of. But here's the exciting part. When I was working for the school system, I had to work through the summer. I had to. You know, just to kind of, we couldn't go 2 months without getting a paycheck. Now, again, I enjoyed what I did. I loved working during the summer with the kids and the teachers and the whole nine yards. It was good. But in this position, I'm going to have summers off, and I'm still getting paid for it. Now, here's the first thing that came to mind when I found that out. Okay, Lord. I'm not taking 2 months off to kick my feet up. What is it you've got planned for me? So I'm already thinking about next summer. Because there's something that God wants to do that I wouldn't have been able to do in the past. Now, he's opened up a door that he's got something planned for this summer coming up. I have no clue what it's going to be. I have no clue. It's a proactive month. God, what are you doing? What do you want to be? That's where we're called to live and to pray. I'm ready. I'm ready. All right, go ahead and click it. I might have turned it off. All right. Watch this video.
Diana!
Who's ready? Who's ready to be proactive? Who's ready to climb out of the trench and go into no man's land and charge hell? Who's ready? Because that's what God's called us to do. And I love the fact that she said, "No, but I can't." And you know what? We can tear down strongholds. We can go into no man's land. We can think and throw whatever he wants to us. We have the cross of Christ. I love the songs that Logan sung this morning, but that last one is Christ alone. We go into battle in Christ alone. That's all we got is Christ. That's okay. Who's ready? Who's ready to say, "You know what? No longer am I being tamed. No longer am I going to play it safe. No longer am I going to stay hidden away. I'm climbing out. I'm going into no man's land, and I'm running straight at you. And Lord Jesus, you're going to give us the victory. You've already taken the fire for us. We're going behind the blood. We're going behind the cross. He's going before us so that we can do what God wants to do in us and through us." Who is ready this morning? Who's ready? When we become great, at Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Love the neighbor as yourself. Then we become dangerous to Satan. We, through the power of God, through the authority of God, we can make a difference. Who's ready? If we give the invitation, it's not me. But I challenge you. I challenge you. Climb out of that trench. Look at the world. See the world who are hurting. The people who are hurting. The people who are struggling. The people that Satan has a stronghold over, and say, "You know what? I'm not going to worry about what everybody else is doing. I'm climbing out. I'm going into no man's land. And Lord God, you're going before me. And in your power, in your authority, I'm charging. I'm charging him with everything I've got." Our Father God, as we bow before you this morning, it's you, Lord. We can't do it in our own power. We can't do it in our own strength, but we don't have to. That's why you told us, "I have all power and authority been given to me, and I go with you." Father, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what that means. I don't know. But here's what I know. We're going to become great at Luke 10:27. And Father, we're going to go out and do what you've called us to be. We're going to go out and be what you've called us to be. To demolish the strongholds of sin. To take ground for the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, have your way right now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.